This morning I feel like I have a message from the Lord that I'd like to share with us and pray that we'd give some consideration. I'd like to start in the book of Genesis. Genesis, the first chapter. And I'd like to start at the first verse. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw the light that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. I love this account of Genesis. It's not scientific, but it tells it as it is in simple words. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. It appears that there was a substance there. It said the earth was without form and void. Hebrew scripture tells us that through faith we believe that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. But the Spirit of God was able to move upon the material that was there to create and to form out of nothingness. The Lord spoke the world. I believe He made the trees. I believe He made every living creature. I believe He made the seas and the firmament and the heavens. I believe that this morning. By faith, I don't have any scientific evidence to point to you this morning to prove to you why I believe what I believe. But I know that He's created something in me that gives me assurance that His Word is true, that what He says, He has done and can do. But it goes on, and we won't take time to read the whole chapter. He created the skies and the stars and the sun, put them all in their place. And I believe in the 31st verse, it said, "And God saw everything that He had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day." Well, we know that He went on to create man. And to me, that's beautiful how He created man from the dust. And how He created woman from man's rib taken from Adam. That all has significance. Everything that God has done is with purpose and meaning. It's not by chance. But it all had significance. And He saw that it was all good. I'll be honest with you this morning, I like it here. I like the mountains. I like the ocean. I like to see valleys and streams, desert. I like palm trees. I like fruit. I like cherry trees, peach trees, apple trees. The fruit of the ground that comes up that God caused to grow. I enjoy it. I like it. If it wasn't for sin, this would be fine for me. If it wasn't for sin and man's disobedience coming into the world, this would be okay for me, right here. This is home. This is what He created for us. But we know that man sinned. The Lord never intended for there to be pain. Like we experience pain in life. He never meant for there to be a broken heart. He never intended for there to be death. When He created man in the beginning, it was forever. He never intended. It wasn't until man took his own way that death came into the picture. To me, that's a kind, loving, merciful Heavenly Father. I want to go now to the book of Jeremiah. And the 18th chapter and the first verse. Jeremiah 18, verse 1. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, "Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words." Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. I could see Jeremiah going to the potter's house and just kind of standing to the side quietly watching what was transpiring. And we've all seen that, although it's not a big part of our modern culture, but we've seen pictures, and perhaps we've even seen potters working with clay. Their hands are all wet and slimy in the clay as they work it over, and then they put it on the wheel and they begin to fashion it. But the Lord told Jeremiah to go down to the potter's house. I want you to go down there because I have something I want to tell you. I have a message that I want to give to you. And there I will cause you to hear my words. And Jeremiah went down to the potter's house, and he saw that potter working with that vessel. And I don't know how far it got in the process. Maybe it was more at the beginning. Maybe it was closer to the end. But something happened that caused it to mar in the potter's hands. Perhaps there was some hard clay in there that was stiff, that wasn't easily molded and fashioned. But anyway, the clay marred in the potter's hand. And Jeremiah watched. What's he going to do with this clay? He didn't just throw the clay aside. He didn't just throw it to the side and go get other clay to work with. He took that same clay, that same lump. Maybe he added a little bit more water to it. Maybe he started working it in his hands a little bit more. And then it went back on the wheel in the hands of the potter. And it began to form another vessel, just as beautiful as the previous vessel. A vessel that could function. A vessel that had purpose. A vessel that was usable in the potter's hands. And he formed it. And he mentioned, in verse 5, he said, "Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in my hand, O house of Israel. At what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom, to pluck up and to pull down and to destroy it. If that nation against whom I have pronounced turn from their evil, I will repent of the evil that I thought to do unto them." Here he mentioned, he said, "Can I not do with you? Can I not do?" And he was talking to a whole nation. Can I not remake and remold? Can I not, even though it's marred and even though it's been damaged, can I, the Lord, remake and refashion this vessel into something that's usable, into something that can be a blessing and a help to somebody else? That was the message that the Lord gave to Jeremiah to give to the children of Israel. I want to drop down now to verse 12. It said, "And they said, there is no hope, but we will walk after our own devices, and we will everyone do the imagination of his evil heart." They said in their heart, there is no hope. There are a lot of people today that have given up hope upon life. And they're just going their own, trying to survive. And their life is not really producing what God would really like for it to produce, because there's been a marring. But they said, there is no hope. I don't know if they said that verbally, but that's what they felt in their heart, in their spirit. There's no hope. You know, the situation sometimes people, we get ourselves into and find ourselves in, sometimes it can look pretty hopeless. Sometimes it can look like I've failed the Lord so many times. It seems like I've tried and I've tried. I've struggled to do what was right. I've tried to live right, and it seems like I've failed again and again and again. We had a young teenage girl that we took into our home when our girls were in high school there in Oregon. She wasn't having a very good relationship with her stepmother and her father. And one night after family worship, I got to talk to her on a personal level. And she looked at me and she said, I tried that one time, and it didn't work for me. She had given up hope. She had given up. The Lord spoke to my heart real clearly at that occasion. And he said, all the ingredients have to be in there for the recipe to work. Folks, it's not the potter's hands that's at fault. It's not the potter's hands. Everything God has made has been good and has been right. But it's the vessels that have marred in the potter's hands. But if some way in life have come up short of being what God really wanted their home to be, really wanted their family to be, really what God really wanted them to be. But the message this morning is, can I do with your life as the potter does with the clay? The same lump. All those same failures. All those same mistakes. All those shortcomings. Am I able to put it in the potter's hands and allow him to create something new? Allow him to make a vessel that is victorious. A vessel that's able to overcome. A vessel that's able to function and be a blessing and a help to other people. Oh, I'm speaking to our lives this morning. This is the message I believe the Lord wants people to be able to get a hold of today. So many times the reason why we come short is because all the ingredients are not in the mix. We don't humble ourselves like we should. We don't really submit and come to those places. I've talked to many, many people that have been broken homes, and I came out of all that. I know what it's like. But so many times, it's always the other person. It's always what my wife did to me, or what my husband did to me. And they fail to recognize the Lord wants to form in you. Oh, it's so easy to put blame somewhere out there. And we fail to recognize our own need. Our own humanity. Oh, Brother Marty said something about last night. He said, "Do you want to be able to see yourself?" It's a gift of God to be able to see us, who we are, as we are before God. It's a gift of God. We can't do it in our own human ability. We need the Lord to show us who we are. But He's able to. He's able to reveal and He's able to help. I want to mention a little bit about King David and King Saul this morning. Both of them were chosen of God. God chose them, not man. God looked down upon their hearts. He saw something good. He saw something that He could work with. And He chose King Saul. But He marred in the potter's hands. Became prideful, didn't he? When Samuel came to him, it was the people. He blamed it on the people. And he failed to recognize his own need. King David, another vessel, chosen of God, after God's own heart. Marred. Marred. Potter's hands. The Lord loved David. But he marred. The difference between the two. We want to get a hold of it today. Saul continually got weaker. And grew worse. Because he failed to submit and to humble himself before God. I want to read a little bit in Psalms 51, David's prayer. Psalms, the 51st chapter. My title above it says, "To the chief musician, a psalm of David, when Nathan the prophet came unto him after he had gone into Bathsheba." Pretty grievous. When I look at it, it almost appears to me that David's sin was the worst. It was with his own people. To cover up his sin, he had one of his loyal. soldiers put to death. Pretty grievous. The man was devoted to the kingdom. He wouldn't go down to his house. When the men of Israel were out on the field, that's devotion. David's sin was very grievous. But he said, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness." According to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me throughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. There was no blame now. It was me. My failure. My fault. Not my family's, not my children's, not how I was raised. It was me. Yes. Verse 10, or verse 3, he said, "For I acknowledge my transgression, and my sin is ever before me." The consequence of that had to be pretty heavy in my mind. Living with that knowledge that he had murdered, had somebody put to death, murdered somebody. And living with that had to be pretty heavy. Verse 10, he says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." He realized it was down in here where the problem was. Right down inside, right here. It's me. Create in me a clean heart. One with pure desires. One with pure motives. Pure thoughts. Good thoughts. And renew a right spirit within me. Because David had been marred in the potter's hands. It had been better had David not done what he did. But the Lord was able to take the same lump of clay and remold and refashion. We talked about, we began in the beginning in Genesis when God created the heaven and the earth. That goes far beyond my finite mind of how great and how powerful God is. They talk about light years away. I can't comprehend that. How far those stars and how large they are, that goes beyond me. But what I want to say this morning, if he had the power to create that, when the earth was without form and void, cannot he create a clean heart, a new spirit, a right spirit within me when I've marred in the potter's hands? When I've failed, when I've come short. I don't know about you, but I've had to apologize many times to my family, my children. "I'm sorry I spoke too sharply. Would you please forgive me? I didn't really understand what I was saying, and I didn't really understand what you were going through." Oh, I've got some failures. Christian life, I haven't done it perfectly, I'll tell you that. I've made some mistakes, made some failures. But when we do, if we can come and bring it and put it back into the potter's hands, amen. Don't give up hope. Don't feel like there's no hope for me. I've tried, I've failed, and I failed. The message is still the same this morning. Can I not do with you, O house of Israel? I'm talking to the church this morning. Regardless of the failure. Regardless of how dark the sin might be. I remember reading a story. I can't remember if it was, I think it was in high school. It's called The Scarlet Letter. You remember that? In this account, there was a sin that had taken place, and a young lady was found with child out of wedlock, which was pretty grievous. It still is. It's grievous today. Although the world accepts it, it's a grievous thing in the sight of the Lord. But in this account, they sewed a scarlet letter on her garment. Scarlet A, adulterer. And she had to wear that letter. And everybody knew that she had committed adultery, that the son that she had was out of wedlock and there was not a father present to raise it. But she never told who the father was. The father happened to be a minister. And I'm not trying to downplay ministers. But he would see her bearing the reproach of wearing that scarlet letter. She bore the ridicule. She bore the humiliation. But you know, in time, there was an inner healing. And the people forgave. And she gained their respect and their confidence. The father never did. He would be seized with guilt when he would see her and her son that he didn't acknowledge. Inside, it worked on him as a canker in his bosom. It plagued him. He grew weaker and weaker and weaker. Until finally, I believe he died before his time. Because he never really acknowledged and he failed. I thought this morning, you know, when there is a failure. He said, little children, I write unto you that you sin not. But if you do, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. If we'll bear the reproach. And it's hard. I'm not going to tell you that getting saved is going to be a quick fix and everything's going to be hunky-dory after that. Because there's consequences. There's consequences. There's wounds that are inflicted in sin. That affects families. That affects children. But if we'll open up our hearts to the Lord, if we'll confront, I thought about that shame, that reproach, You know, we can go our life and say, it wasn't my fault. It was them. But we got to listen to our own heart this morning. What our heart is really saying to us. Because our heart knows if we're complete, if we're well, and if we're what the Lord wants us to be. We know that down in the depths, our heart will tell us. We have a conscience that we need to listen to. But if we'll face those places of shame, reproach, failure. You know, to me, it's the Lord's hands reforming another vessel. You know, in other places, he talked about, you know, the same thing. He gave them, he tried to deal with them. They said, no, we'll go into Egypt. We'll flee on horses. It's a temptation always to find a way, a distance of escape. It's always hard to face reality and who we are. Oh, but if we do, we bear that shame and we bear that reproach. That's the Lord's hands molding another vessel. You know, the devil would like you to think it's all lost. It's all hopeless. There have been many that have marred in the potter's hands. Oh, when we look around the congregation this morning, I see wonderful people. But I see people. Many of you have failed. Many of you have been hurt. Many of you have had trouble and difficulties have marred. There's hope this morning. These people said, there's no hope. I want to say the plan works. Just like God said it does, it works. If we're willing to put ourselves all into the hands of the potter and let him remold. Let me share with you Brother Clifford Wilson. I loved that man very dearly. He was a spiritual giant to me. He loved truth. He preached it straight. You leave the world. He was very careful in his life, his words that he spoke, his manners. I had complete confidence in him. And he was a great blessing to me in my life. But some of you may have not known about Brother Clifford. That he got discouraged as a young man, young married man. He got looking and saw things in the church that shouldn't have been. And it discouraged him. And he said, if this is all there is to it, I don't want it. And he walked away. For years. Brother Cecil Carver made it a point to go visit Brother Clifford once a year. Brother Cecil was in Louisiana. Brother Clifford was up in, I believe it was Idaho, Iowa. And he made it a point once a year to go see Brother Clifford and Sister Dorothy. One year he made comment, Brother Cecil did, he said, Clifford, next time I come next year, I want you to get saved. That's what he said when he left. Well, he had a year to think about it. I don't know how many knew Brother Carver, but he meant what he said. He held your feet to the fire. Anyway, Brother Clifford did. He got Brother Cecil went up there next year, and Brother Clifford did give his heart back to God. I think what would happen, I tremble in my spirit today to think, what it would be like if he wasn't there at a time when I really needed him. What if he would have just said, there's no hope? They're not living right. They're hypocritical. when we're in a body of people, yes, there's things that there shouldn't be. Get your eyes off the people today. Because people will mar in the potter's hands. Chosen of God, they'll mar in the potter's hands. What does it mean to us this morning? What will it mean to your children, to your grandchildren, if you say there's no hope for me? I've heard people that have gone away from the saints. Say, I wished I'd never done that. Yes. Problems in the congregation. Difficulties, differences. And after their children were raised and gone, they say, I wished I wouldn't have done that. It wasn't that bad. I have an answer to that. The answer is not to continue on the way that you're going. The answer is to come back and say, I'm sorry. I was wrong. For your children's sake, for your grandchildren's sake. There have been different ones, Brother Austis Wilson, and I'm not trying to expose all these dear brethren's failures, but just to let you know, they were so esteemed. Brother Austis, one year he said it at Monarch, so it ain't going to hurt to say it today. He said, I failed my children. I was so involved with the work of the Lord. I was so busy. He said, I remember coming home different times. They wanted to play ball. He said, I don't have time. I don't have time to do that now. He said that at Monarch. He said, I failed my children. He said, I went back to them. And I asked them forgiveness. Folks, we make mistakes. We fail sometimes. But I want to encourage us. The answer is not to just give up hope and to go on and do our own thing. The answer is to face the shame, the guilt, and allow the Lord to form a new vessel. There's no need. Today, I think about the sheep that have gone astray. What said the shepherd? He went in search. He left the flock. And went out and searched for the one. It lets me know at one time they were there. Lets me know at one time they were enjoying the blessings and the presence of the Lord. Lord, help us today to recognize the great need. And Lord, help us today to have the message of hope. If I put my life back into the potter's hands, yeah, I've got to face what's left. I've got to face that He can form a new vessel that will be a blessing. I believe Brother Barton lost out with the Lord for years. Tried to get back with the Lord. Didn't seem like he felt the Spirit of God anymore. But oh, one day, I think he was letting off his wife. And the Lord spoke to him, "This is your chance." Another vessel that marred. But the Lord was able to remake. Yeah, it'd been better if it wasn't. But we got to deal with... My wife gets on to me this all the time. We've got to deal with what we have. I'm always saying, I wish. That's what the Lord wants us to deal with. What we have on hand. But He's able, doesn't matter how old you are. Doesn't matter how many times you've failed. Doesn't matter how young you are this morning. If you'll be willing to put your life in the potter's hands, He can mold a vessel. He can create a new heart. He can create, renew a right spirit within us. Look out in the universe and you can know it's true. If He had the power to do that, can't He forgive me my sins and create something clean in me? I think about the scripture. It says there's a fountain opened in the house of David for sin, uncleanness, failures. Doesn't matter how dark, doesn't matter how hopeless that may seem, our best move is to put ourselves in the potter's hands and let Him begin to renew and remold and remake a new vessel. Pray for me.